This passage covers every religious performer, from the orator to the martyr. No passage is so penetrating. The carnal uses a vast repertoire to appear spiritual. Bad men possess charm and can turn it on. Some of the sharpest brains are criminal brains. Great exploits have been accomplished by the Hitlers, the Stalins, the Caesars, and the Pharaohs. The immoral and profane have covered their licentiousness by sponsoring aid to the distressed and the maimed. So how can you tell what is eternal value and by what means? The sinner can produce effect and impression. A sinner can express moods of joy and interest and sympathy and appreciation. A sinner can do it so well when he has a mind to do so that a believer can suffer in contrast. The duplication is so cleverly produced that the critic can, and often does, assume that it represents a high standard of morality. We conclude so often by these outward effects. He is a good man. She is a good woman. But what makes a good man a good woman? How do they accomplish it? How are impeccable manners produced? How are audiences swayed? How are images of worth built? There enters unavoidably into great religious reputation much which is not religion, but power. The bookstalls are filled with text outlining the way to succeed, how to harness your personality and climb upward. One who has the tongue of men and angels can certainly impress the public that he himself is extraordinarily good. He would not use it to accomplish the contrary, that he's bad, that he's a devil. He's fascinated with his own power, the gift he possesses. He captivates men's spirits. He carries them away to profound heights and depths. He plays for self-interest with the souls of mankind. Now, you are caught by genius. That person who understands all mysteries produces an aura about himself. You're ready to elevate him. The tendency is to bow before a display of knowledge, to sit at the feet of masters and doctors. Paul moved in such society. He had been a part of such society. Let one then so wonderful in mental acumen combine that acumen with utmost fervor, with boundless faith, before which everything gives way, with boundless zeal, ready to make even splendid sacrifices. Has there been any age in which such a man would have been set down as sounding and empty? It's a jolt right out of your New Testament. Gifts of intellect and imagination and initiative and poetical ability are within the parentheses of a world system. They are another form of wealth. They are greater assets in the hands which can use them than money or real estate. Men like Hitler have used them to spin to the top. Remember this? Action on a large scale and the overpowering effect of great gifts are what produce, in a great degree, what we call the canonization of men, the popular judgment which sets them up morally and spiritually upon the pinnacle of the temple, and which professes to be a forestalment through the mouth of the church or of religious society of final judgment. And how decisive are these ratings? What legal tender are these notes of praise? How sure can any preacher be in burying his fellow man what the final verdict will be? The world is filled with these echoes. Praise and reward are big business. Committees are kept busy, handing out plaques and certificates and cups and citations and honorary degrees. But how much do we know? On what do we predicate these excellencies? So much of the evidence is known only to God, mister. What is the motive? And have not charity. It all hangs on that. Is there a secret cover-up? Some bridge with this world system? And again, there is that pronoun I. I speak. I have. I bestow. I give. Does God have all of me? Is there a corrupting element of self-interest that negates the splendor of the apparatus? The apostles exposed themselves daily. They did not seek the shadows. They were a spectacle to men and angels. They sought simplicity. They opened themselves to the Holy Spirit to probe for any duplicity and insincerity. Their faults became a matter of New Testament record. Paul and Barnabas disagreed. Paul and Peter withstood one another. Mark ran away. James sought a compromise. They refused to play gods. They were conscious of their own imperfections. The way in which man bears temptation is what decides his character. But so many of these assaults are insidious. Who knows what is going on? Who knows what is the issue? I live in a system of secrecy. 50 years of marriage, and you don't even know your partner. You only think you do. When a wife says to her husband, "Listen, I know you like a book," she's bluffing. It's one book report on which she will get a failing grade. What is this charity I must have? And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Mister, it's something from another world. It says and reaches without one speck of foreign element. I care about you. It's that sweet essence of Calvary, and you are never using anybody. So the question surfaces, will I live for the now or for eternity? Or can I live for both? One thing is certain, I'm heading toward the total audit. Will all that I have accomplished be regarded as rubbish? What if such judgment should appear in the world now? What consternation it would cause. Editors would have to rewrite their stories. Pictures would have to be withdrawn. Appeals for funds would have to be revised. Candidates would have to be re-examined. The shock would shake the religious world. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. A lot of books would tumble from the bestseller list. Such a court from the outside world would strip bare. It would denude what was irrelevant to goodness. Only the pure would remain. And doesn't it seem injustice? It destroys everything that makes our commerce. We sort of like the world we create of make-believe. We make it quite comfortable for ourselves and our morals. But it's the only way by which different men can be produced. And there's a deep longing within me to move in such a world among such people. I really want, and you really want, all that is dross stripped away. I want something that can stand the analysis of another world. I want my soul to rest in something more permanent than pomp and ceremony and headlines. And the warning is posted. There will be the scrutiny of the last day. All that is shallow and glitter will tumble, and all that is substance will remain. But that day will also produce a host of surprises. The last shall be first. Suddenly the worth of the less flashy, the obscure worker, the person without eloquence or the ability to crowd the public imagination will be realized. The solid work that has gone on in secret, unnoticed, unrewarded, unpublicized, will be recognized. We get glimpses from time to time. The quiet, the reliable member. Is there at every service a volunteer for every job? Now these are they which live above jealousy and meanness and the clawing for headlines and rewards. They live in sweet victory because of a better character than many of the prima donnas who jostle each other for front and center. Mister, there are a lot of good people here. That day will reveal it. The act of the thief on the cross was a surprise. Few committees would have picked him to walk in paradise. The sheriff at Philippi was a surprise. No one would have suggested his name for membership. Paul put his finger on it, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Judgment in another world is based on the heart, sir. What is the condition of your heart? The outside, the coating is impressive. There is judgment based on outward appearance. It's a man's rating, but that stops with the undertaker, lady. What credentials will I take with me? What if there were no other world? Could anything that is genuinely good survive? Wouldn't the crush of human brilliance and the genius for the extravaganza be too much? We would all become actors, impressionists. But Jesus is the judge, mister. Please read his life again and again, who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He humbled himself. He will not accept another standard, so don't promote something for real that inwardly you know is froth. He cared so much. Often it displeased his critics. They had guidelines for conduct and success that he offended. He said to invite those who cannot invite you. He said to pray for those who snub you. He loved when it was dangerous to love. He spoke of issues that were not popular. He made friends with the unlearned and the ignorant. He ran from publicity and popular attempts to make him a king. He shredded the guild and the image of the hierarchy. He saw through pretense. He exposed disguise. He minced no words. Take heed that no man deceive you. Behold, I have told you. You and I must face this man. He alone decides what is creditable. He makes me think every moment of my life. But don't let it discourage you, sir. Don't turn sour and skeptic. There is goodness. I believe I have seen it, and I have felt it in my lifetime. Exposing is big business right now. But let the media believe in goodness. Let the media report it when it beats it. Let the media reward it with the same front page exposure as it does pretense and chicanery. And it's a promise, one of the strongest of all promises, that there is a world ahead, bigger and better than this, because there are people here in your block and in mine who belong to that world. And so the warning is also a welcome. I know this, God helping me, I mean to be a part of that new society. And now I pray for courage to follow what I know is good, what I know will be first in that day. This is the great moment of the meeting. Thousands love and cherish the long, long altar, and the Holy Spirit is directing us there. So let's welcome each other as we gather to the Master in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
Emma Myers, who found the long, long altar at Howell, New Jersey, experienced help that money could not buy. Brother Ward, I was so crippled that I could make a single step with difficulty. And then I met with you at this precious trysting place, and the power of God hit my legs. And now I'm able to run up and down stairs. They are as good as new. I will always thank Jesus for your ministry in leading me to the long, long altar. And Alice Campbell finds her place with us as this vital fellowship embraces her at the Plains, Virginia. I came from my brother's home. The marriage was shattered. The miracle began. Suddenly God swept aside what seemed to be insurmountable obstacles. And today my brother is saved and enjoying his service for Christ in the church. And so now we come in faith. Jesus, we will never cease to confess thee as Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The change in our lives is witness to thy authority to forgive sin. And we thank thee for intervention. It is thy name which brings healing and provision. It is thy will to multiply sandwiches and turn water into wine. Use the meeting to thy glory. Give us on this platform a sense of direction and keep that anointing on us. In his name we ask it, amen. And now we're ready to observe the ministry of the high priest among us. Jesus is seeking and Jesus is saving. That is the schedule. Are you lost, or what may have you lost? Someone at the long, long altar has lost the hearing in one ear better than 10 years ago. You have sought the best that mankind offers, but have not been healed. Your healing is here. It simply pleases Jesus to minister this victory to you. You are not worthy, and I'm not worthy, but Calvary is complete payment. And this is God's gift to you. So use the gift to reflect glory upon the gospel. You must face those who deny that Jesus heals today with your testimony. This is your obligation to the great physician. Be faithful, lest a worse thing come upon you. God blesses the meeting, and we're not ashamed of the comforter and the guide. He leads directly into all truth, and that is better than groping and fumbling in high-sounding uncertainties. And he will call and transport us to the meeting in the air. That is why I rest my soul on this fact, that it is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.